This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Dr. Omar Suleiman is the president of Yaqeen Institute for Islamic Research, a celebrated Al-Maghrib instructor, and has cemented himself as one of Muslim America's rising leaders through his activism and community service. Since the year 2000, Dr. Omar's pursuit of knowledge has taken him from the U.S. to the United Arab Emirates, Jordan, and Malaysia, where he eventually completed his Ph.D. in Islamic thought and civilization. As a valued Al-Maghrib instructor, Dr. Omar's main area of focus has been in the science of spirituality, with his course Behind the Scenes being among Al-Maghrib's most popular seminars. His soft demeanor, dedication to community building, and inspirational oratory style makes him one of the most sought-after figures in the international speaker circuit.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I forgot how awkward those intros were, so I thought it was going to be like 10 seconds. And I remember this is Al-Maghrib. There's one of Muhammad's behind it. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulihi al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. One of the most powerful things about the Qur'an and one of its greatest signs and testimonies is that if you are a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, living in Mecca or Medina at the time, you realize that when the Qur'an comes to you with a story, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to you with something specific at a particular moment in history, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is either giving you perspective of something that has already passed, meaning you are feeling a certain way, and so you can draw from the lives of the prophets of Allah or the lives of those who came before and develop perspective and know how to turn that moment into a connection or a deeper connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing you for something to come. Something is being foretold that perhaps you don't even understand in the moment. And so, for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed about Surah Rum, about the Romans defeating the Persians, fi bid'i sinin, between 3 and 9 years, that in and of itself would have been a feat that the believers would find comfort in, knowing that no matter how defeated they seemed at the moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised them victory. But little did they know that the defeat of the Persian Empire at the hands of the Roman Empire would parallel the Battle of Badr. وَيَوْمَ إِذٍ يَفْرَحُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِنَصْرِ اللَّهِ يَنْصُرُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. The day that they would find joy in the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by His help, by His aid, He gives victory to whom He wills. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. And so this story of David and Goliath is a story that encapsulates the ultimate tyrant and the ultimate hero. The villain who has all of the physical constructs of power, and the underdog who is fueled by something that is outside of this world, since everything worldly is to the advantage of the opponent. David and Goliath. When does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal the story to the Muslims, and in what context? I want you to imagine yourself as one of the muhajireen. You have just been forced out of Mecca because of your righteousness. You have been persecuted and forced to flee. And it is not out of any deficiency of your faith that you are currently living the circumstances of diaspora. And in that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals to the Muslims the story of a people that had to stay in Exodus, that had to stay in diaspora, in the desert wandering for decades because of an unwillingness to move forward for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to that, if I am Abu Bakr, or Umar, or Uthman, or Ali, a Hamza, I can't relate to those people that refused to go forward with Musa alayhi salam into Jerusalem when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to go forward. That's not where the connection is going to be. Yet somehow, here I am in this land of Medina at the mercy of complete strangers who treat me like family because they love the same Lord that I love.
It's different. But I'm not like the followers of Musa alayhi salam who prevented him from entering into Jerusalem because of a deficiency in their faith that led to a devastating circumstance. So that's not where the connection is. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was speaking to something else. The story of David and Goliath is revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the Muslims right before the Battle of Badr, foretelling a moment in which the believers, being completely outnumbered, would be able to overcome an arrogant, tyrannical army that never even considered the possibility of defeat because everything worldly told them that it was surely going to be a victory for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, leading up to these moments, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الْمَلَأِ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى إِذْ قَالُوا لِنَبِيٍّ لَهُمْ وَبَعَثْ لَنَا مَلِكًا نُقَاتِلْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Messenger, have you considered what happened to the elders of the children of Israel, Bani Israel, after Musa alayhi salam, when they asked one of their prophets, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says this is most likely the prophet Samuel, when they asked one of their prophets, put forth a king that we can follow and that we can fight behind in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're sick of living this reality. You see, initially, the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had just shown a miracle by drowning the most tyrannical army in the history of the world, the army of Fir'aun. Those people refused to go forward. And because of that, their children grow up in this pathetic situation and they're frustrated. And so they have a different type of energy to them. They have a different type of vibe to them, right? They come to their prophet now and they say, go ahead and put a king forward. We're going to go fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ هَلْ عَسَيْتُمْ إِن كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْقِتَالُ أَلَّا تُقَاتِلُوا Have you considered that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you what you want, that you might possibly refrain from fighting just like your elders, just like those who came before you refrained from going forward? And listen to what they responded. قَالُوا وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نُقَاتِلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ أُخْرِجْنَا مِنْ دِيَارِنَا وَأَبْنَائِنَا Why wouldn't we go forth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we have been expelled from our places as well as our children? SubhanAllah, the exact same circumstances that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives permission to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions to take up arms against those who have harmed them because they drove you out of your homes and they have oppressed you and they have forcibly taken your goods. So they're saying, why wouldn't we go forward? Of course we'll go forward because we have nothing to lose. We've already been driven out of our homes. We've already lived this pathetic situation. So whoever is put forward, we're going to find ourselves driven. فَلَمَّا كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقِتَالِ تَوَلَّوْا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِّنْهُمْ Wallahu alimun bil-zalimin. But then once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them what they wanted, Allah azza wa jalla prescribed fighting upon them, that you now have the right to go forward, then most of them turned away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is well aware of the transgressors. One of the blessings, or one of the reflections that the ulama take from this ayah in comparing the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to them, there is a difference between a people that are driven by circumstance and a people that are driven by cause. These people were driven by circumstance purely because they looked at how bad their circumstances were and they said, it can't get any worse than this. Why wouldn't we fight? It's not like we have anything to lose. But once a worse circumstance was put in front of them, they said, never mind, we're good. We'll stay in the desert. We'll keep wandering aimlessly, because it's better than being killed. There's a difference between people that are driven by circumstance and a people that are driven by cause, the fi sabilillah part, in which circumstance becomes irrelevant in the face of cause. And that was the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When they're told to stay, they stay. SubhanAllah, the people of Palestine, even when no bombs are falling, so فَنَبْقَى هُنَا, we're going to stay here, they know that they are an ardu ribat, that they're serving a cause just by their existence, by their refusal to leave, that just by them planting their feet firmly in a ground that has thousands of craters in it from the airstrikes and refusing to be intimidated, that they are serving a cause fi sabilillah. So whether it is stay or go forward, they're driven by cause, not by circumstance. Major difference between the two. This is also the opposite of the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions. Min al-mu'minin rijalun sadaqu ma'ahadu Allah alayh. Faminhum man qada nahba wa minhum man yantadhir wa ma badalu tabdila. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us in Surah Al-Ahzab that from the believers are those who are truthful to their covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of them have the ability to fulfill their covenant with Allah right away. Some of them are made to wait. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. But their resolve does not change. Who is this referring to? Referring to the Sahaba that missed the Battle of Badr and said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if Allah gives us another chance, because Badr came out of nowhere, if Allah gives us another chance, He will see what we will do. He will see our sincerity. You see the difference between them and this group of people? They're driven by cause, not circumstance. They said, whatever the circumstance is, the cause is greater. We will go forward with the faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly what happened. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu says about his uncle Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that he moved forward and he used to tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if Allah gives me another chance, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see my sincerity. And he moved forward in the Battle of Uhud, even when some of the greatest people in the world fled at a point when they thought that the battle was over, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted him as a shaheed in those moments. وَقَالَ لَهُمْ نَبِيُّهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ بَعَثَ لَكُمْ طَالُوتَ مَلِكًا. Their prophet said to them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed for you Talut as a king. Talut was a righteous man, but he was poor. And he was from, as some of the Mufassirin mentioned, the tribe of Binyamin. He wasn't looked at as being from the powerful class of Bani Israel, and he didn't have money and wealth. And unfortunately, you know, we talk about internalized Islamophobia. These people had internalized Fir'aunism, because they only looked at people in accordance with what they had. They only looked at people in accordance with their wealth. He didn't seem to match what a king looks like, because authority to them looked like Fir'aun, even if that authority oppressed them. They had drunk, unfortunately, the poison of Fir'aun and started to analyze the world through the lens of their oppressor. قَالُوا أَنَّا يَكُونُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ عَلَيْنَا وَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ بِالْمُلْكِ مِنْهُ. Why would he be given kingdom over us when we are more worthy, more deserving of being in that position? وَلَمْ يُؤْتَ سَعَةً مِنَ الْمَالِ. He wasn't given money like we were. He wasn't given position like we were. قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَزَادَهُ بَسْطَةً فِي الْعِلْمِ وَالْجِسْمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him over you and increased him in strength and in knowledge. وَاللَّهُ يُؤْتِي مُلْكَهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah gives kingdom to whom He wants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all resourceful, all knowing. SubhanAllah, they rejected Talut because he didn't match the mold that they wanted. They were neither driven by cause, nor were they able to see past the material world. They were driven purely by how miserable they were, and that's only going to get you so far when you try to pursue victory. So Talut goes forth, and he has an army in the beginning of 80,000 men. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them when they reach a river and they are exceedingly thirsty. You have to learn discipline in accordance with your cause. I want you to think about the people of Gaza right now with everything that's going on. You know, starvation can drive you nuts. Hunger can get you to say things that you don't typically say and do. Hunger is a war crime for a reason. Starving people literally drives them out of their senses. How in the world do these people, despite their starvation, still say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel? How? They're unbreakable because they lean upon the one who is Al-Jabbar. They lean upon one who is unbreakable. They're unbreakable. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them. And this also is a sign that a few people that are committed to the cause and that are sincere are better than a whole bunch of people that have lost their identity and lost their faith and lost what is meant to drive them. Allah doesn't need numbers. It's not about the numbers. Didn't the Prophet ﷺ say that this ummah would become like the foam of the sea? That we would become the feast of nations around us? It's not about the quantity, it never was. So Allah Azza wa Jalla puts them through a filtration process. They reach a river, and in their intense thirst, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells or instructs through Talut that they will not drink from that river at the order of Talut. And the ulama mentioned that this is because Talut is most likely not a prophet, according to almost consensus. Something divinely inspired. Put these men through the test. You don't drink from this river until I tell you to. The vast majority of them fail the test. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala filters through this test 4,000 graduates. You need to have sabr. You need to have patience, discipline, if you're going to go forth with this. So 4,000 graduates, and then Allah filters out of those 4,000 through another series of tests, 313 people. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, the people that went forth on that day were the exact same number as the companions on Badr. Do you think that the Sahaba planned that? Think the Sahaba said, all right, something's coming up. Let's try to be the same number as this righteous group of people that went forth against their oppressor? Absolutely not. Allah was foretelling something to come. And that 313 were the most righteous of Bani Israel. They were 313 men that deserved victory. They went forth with discipline and devotion and dedication. And then as they went forth, وَلَمَّا بَرَزُوا لِجَالُوتِ, once they faced Goliath وَجُنُودِهِ and his army, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ, they said, our Lord, pour upon us patience and set our feet firm and give us victory over an unbelieving people. Pour upon our hearts, pour upon our beings patience. أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا. The beauty of this dua, let the patience be poured upon us. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا, and let it make our feet firm and grant us victory over Goliath and over a tyrannical people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as he does in the battle of Badr, Allah ascribes the victory to the dua. إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. When Allah Azza wa Jalla talks about Badr, it was the night when the Prophet ﷺ was standing up and praying to Allah before the battle even started. After the dua was made, the angels arrived by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When these righteous people made that dua, فَهَزَمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, there is no break. As it then plays out, just like any sincere dua that is made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer the sincere dua, and it will play out on the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses, at the pace that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses. But once a sincere dua is made, it is only a matter of time before that dua manifests itself, that prayer manifests itself in victory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَقَتَلَ دَاوُودُ جَالُوتَ وَآتَاهُ اللَّهُ الْمُلْكُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted Dawood alayhi salam the ability to kill Goliath, and Allah azza wa jalla granted him al-mulk, dominion, wal-hikmah, and wisdom. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the believers, and this is one of the fawad, one of the reflections that some of the scholars mention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them material victory and then increased them in something that was immaterial, but that would increase their rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the scholars mention that this is revelation that then came to Dawood alayhi salam. Afterwards, Dawood was not yet a prophet, he was simply a righteous man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَعَلَّمَهُ مِمَّا يَشَىٰ, that he imparted to him the knowledge of whatever he willed. Dear brothers and sisters, when you think of Dawood alayhi salam moving forward to fight Goliath, David and Goliath, I want you to understand for a moment that before he faces this giant in Goliath with the faith that he has, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that Dawood alayhi salam was a man who was distinguished by his prayer, distinguished by his fasting. He said sallallahu alayhi wasallam that there is no fasting better than the fasting of David. He would fast one day and then he would break his fast another day. His habit was to fast alternate days. And he said, and there's no qiyam better than Dawood alayhi salam, who would pray the last third of the night. Dawood alayhi salam is praised in his qiyam. He is praised in his siyam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises his righteousness. There is an engineering that takes place before these moments actually manifest themselves. And this is super important because Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا دَاوُودِ, remember our servant Dawood. لَلَأَيْدِ إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ, that he was a person who possessed great strength and he was someone who was always turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was repentant, turned towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what's so powerful about this? Because if you look at the biblical version of David, it's not very righteous. It's a man who's actually driven by lust and power. It's a man who had 99 wives and who looked out and saw a beautiful woman from his balcony who happened to be the wife of his commander, and driven by his lust, sends out his commander, his loyal commander, to battle so he can die, and then takes his widow as his 100th wife. That's what they portray Dawood alayhi salam as. It's not our version of Dawood alayhi salam. Innahu awwab. Dawood alayhi salam was a person who's turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. The prophets of Allah are the most upright people, which is why they were most deserving of victory. Now I want to bring this back in conclusion to the companions, who perhaps didn't realize, because Badr came out of nowhere. Here they are, 313, with one or two horses against an army of 1,000, well-equipped, have all of their military equipment, have over 100 horses, have the camels, have everything to be able to overcome them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them victory. I want to conclude, and I'm already over time, with a scene. In every single conflict, in every single story of an oppressor and an oppressed, you have a group of righteous people, and then you have the gems that shine from that group and that encapsulate the moment. In the Battle of Badr, see, Dawood alayhi salam was smaller physically than Goliath. David was smaller than Goliath, but he was a man full of gratitude, fasting, prayer, righteousness. And that made him far greater in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than a man who was physically big, but so small. فَلَا يَزِنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُولَ. Tyrants don't weigh in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but a wing of a mosquito. Don't you remember what the Prophet said about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu? He said about his two legs. Ibn Mas'ud was a man who was physically very small, but he said about his two legs that people laughed at because of how skinny they were. لَهُمَا فِي الْمِيزَانِ أَثْقَلُ مِنْ جَبَلِ أُحُدْ. That those two legs in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the scale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are bigger than the mountain of Uhud. Think of the scene of David and Goliath in Badr. You know what I think of? I think of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu climbing on top of Abu Jahl. That's our David and Goliath moment in Badr. Abu Jahl stomped Ibn Mas'ud almost to death in Mecca because he read the Quran publicly. And now it's the Battle of Badr, and Abu Jahl is so big, the Fir'aun of this ummah, that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu climbs on top of him and stands on top of him and looks down on him. And Abu Jahl looks up at him. لَقَدْ ارْتَقَيْتَ مُرْتَقًا صَعْبًا يَا رُوَيْعِ الْغَلَبِ. You have climbed the difficult mountain, O shepherd of sheep, you little man. He's talking to him that way even as he's standing on his chest. And he says to him, لِمَنْ الْغَلَبَ, who's winning the battle? Asking Ibn Mas'ud for commentary. الْغَلَبَةُ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ يَا عَدُوَ اللَّهِ. Victory belongs to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O enemy of Allah. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu ends the Fir'aun of this ummah. That's our David and Goliath moment in Badr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the companions that sight. And I want you to look at this picture on the screen, inshallah ta'ala, if they're able to bring it up. And I want you to think about who the David and Goliath of this day is. If they have the picture, and if not, then I'll talk about it, inshallah ta'ala. Some of you remember in the Intifada, in 2000, 24 years ago, there was an image that was etched into our conscience. of a young boy, Faris Uda, who was 15 years old at the time, standing in front of an Israeli tank. That image became part of what inspired us as an ummah. If that's not David and Goliath, I don't know what is. Except we live in a time where Goliath tries to convince you that he's actually David and has a PR machine that's almost as gigantic as him. But the world has seen too much of the true Davids and Goliaths to be able to turn their backs on it. That boy, Faris Uda, would have been 38 years old today had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not taken him as a shaheed in that very moment. This encapsulates our David and Goliath. This is our David and Goliath. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us in the position of that David and allow us to overcome this Goliath. Allahumma ameen. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.